2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
CEO Daryl Eves would be one of the first to tell you they wanted The Chosen to be different. So, instead of pitching the idea for their multi-season show to a Hollywood studio, they went to the public.
I think it's really important that everyone knows this is not an LDS project. This is 100% written and directed by an evangelical. And basically, we had this self-funded from all different faiths and backgrounds. And we got 19,000 people backing the project. And we broke the all-time crowdfunding record in film and television for a Jesus show. like that's amazing.
That first season has now been viewed over 100 million times and is available in 50 different languages in 180 different countries around the world. A large portion of that second season is filmed right here in Utah, but its genesis is also right here in Utah. Eves' friend Jeffrey Harmon, one of the founders of Angel Studios, approached him at a conference he was putting on with a video.
And I'm like, I'm trying to put on a conference. He says, no, you have to see this. And that was when I was able to see Dallas Jenkins' creation of the nativity through the eyes of the shepherd.
That unique way of telling the nativity story hooked him, and that conversation eventually led to the creation of The Chosen. Then COVID-19 happened just as they were getting ready to crowdfund season two.
Pretty much every television and film production just shut down. We had decided either do Malta, Bulgaria, or Utah. And then we found out that Utah was a no, and it was because of COVID.
At that point, writer and director Dallas Jenkins went back to the farm where he'd filmed the short that inspired the show and prayed that they'd be able to keep going.
And it was the next day that we got an answer that, hey, Goshen's a go.
Locking down a location was just one hurdle. Next, they had to hire a crew of 11 people to administer COVID tests and pay to have the whole cast and crew tested frequently to meet the Screen Actors Guild requirements. Something he said cost $800,000. It all paid off, though. Throughout filming of season two, they had just one isolated case of COVID. And all that testing and prep work, they locked down right here in Utah, helped them pull off one of their biggest scenes ever.
The last episode of season two is the Sermon on the Mount. Like, okay, you need a lot of extras.
Knowing how they'd been successful here, they were able to test 2,300 extras.
We only turned away a couple cars, and yet we were able to actually do that Sermon on the Mount scene, and it looks so epic of having actual people that weren't, CGI'd in.
That streamlined process was also noticed by a certain Hollywood tabloid, too.
And that was the first positive piece that TMZ actually did, and they applauded us and said Hollywood can learn from what The Chosen's doing, because we did it right.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.